Yeah. Okay, we can start.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to Rogue Aquatics. I'm Kathy. We're going to talk today about the water, and I want to start this conversation off by just kind of letting you guys know why I had been for years trying to find someone that was interested in doing yoga here in this facility. My thought really truly was when I first started is we have a huge room upstairs, which you guys will see a little bit later. It was to use that room to have somebody teach yoga in, because it's an empty space that we use it for birthday parties and meetings and whatnot, but the rest of the time the room is just there. So why not use it for something? Well, Natalie and I have discovered that nobody can really wrap their heads around anything dry land in this facility. So we tried.
We had a studio. We painted. It was...
Yeah, we took a class.
Oh, wow. Didn't we do it for like 6 months or more?
Yeah. And we tried everything, and
no water.
We were practically giving Natalie's classes away, basically.
I was doing privates and semi-privates for 6 months.
It was crazy.
It was fun. I loved it, but we realized, no way. Nobody is doing anything that is not water here.
Yeah. So we wrapped our heads around that. We just brought yoga down here, and it's turning out to be wonderful. First, we started out with the boards, and I'm sure you guys have all seen or heard about the boards that we use on the water to do yoga on. Cindy, one of our other fitness instructors here at this facility, she's teaching what we basically call a CrossFit class on the water because it's intense. It's very, very hard. You guys, we're going to put the boards in the water here in a little bit, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Getting off and on the boards itself, just that movement is difficult. So it's all about core strength and balance, right? So Natalie wanted me to talk about the water and how we can use the water to our advantage in yoga classes, because it's a couple of things happen when we're in the pool. For one, the second your body is in the water, there's no gravity. So you've lost any you know problems that people have with arthritis, fibromyalgia, a lot of things that inhibit a lot of people on walking around on the planet. Basically, you can get in the water, and it kind of relieves a lot of that stuff, so that these people can focus on something else. So being able to take yoga and put it in the pool, their range of motion just it's so enhanced, wouldn't you agree?
I mean, it's amazing. And chronic pain also, postural issues, that gravity right. is like, oh my God, I'm off. I don't have pain when I'm in the water.
Right. So we can take people and we can have them come into the pool with us and we can do any kind of workout. The amazing part is sometimes we actually literally have to help some of those people get back out of the pool because gravity is reintroduced upon meeting those steps.
Yes.
And it's difficult sometimes for people, but that's kind of why we've decided to bring yoga to the pool. This pool is 86 degrees. It's salt water, so it's not your typical chlorine pool. You can still kind of smell swimming pool in here, but you're not smelling public swimming pool in here. So what happens with that, and you need to know this. This is a little bit of science about the pool, and you need to know because people are going to ask you if you're doing a class here. The sanitizing agent that's in this water is still chlorine. It's a different chemical-based chlorine. So chlorine that is in the public pool is calcium hypochlorite. Okay, it's a calcium-based chlorine product. And that's the one that stays on your skin, stays in your hair, eats your swimwear. It's not friendly. This pool is sodium-based, so it's sodium hypochlorite. So we have generators out here that take plain table salt and through electrolysis turn it into a chlorine, which sanitizes the pool. So we're still counting parts per million of chlorine in this pool, but since it's sodium-based instead of calcium-based, it's nice, it's easier on us. two things happen with that. If you go underwater in a calcium-based swimming pool, you can see through the water. You can still open your eyes and see through it. It's not very friendly for your eyes, but you can see through it. When you go underwater here in this pool, you can open your eyes, and it's like your tears. It feels lovely. You can open your, but you can't see through the salt water. So you can see images, kind of, you know, but it's really blurry until you put your goggles on or a mask. So that's kind of the difference in the pool situation. And like I said, you will appreciate knowing that if you ever do any work here, because people will ask you. Everybody asks all the time, whether it's for themselves or their children or whatever it is. So many people have allergies these days, and it's getting more and more and more prevalent, not less. So
allergies to, you mean specifically to the pool chlorine?
Yeah, okay. To either the chlorine on their skin, breathing it, all kinds of things.
So you just educated us to that when people have a saltwater pool, that's typically what they mean, that it's a sodium-based, but it's a sodium-based chlorine. It's usually what they leave off.
Right.
But it's a sodium-based chlorine, right. But they leave that off so they don't have to explain it.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, they
it's
might
confusing.
Not know.
Yeah.
They might not know either. We say this is saltwater pool. So I literally have people get in the pool and think that it's going to be a little bit like the ocean. It's not.
Right.
It's bringing the water from the Atlantic.
Yeah.
It's not like the ocean. In ocean water, we can all float like little corks because the salt, there is so much salt that it will actually support our bodies. That is not so in this pool.
Is it a little bit different?
It tastes salty.
Are you more buoyant at all?
No. I'm going to say no to that. We're going to talk about buoyancy in just a second, though. But as far as the salt is concerned, no. But people still think that since it's salt water, they must be able to float better. But they don't.
Is it still as drying, or if for someone who isn't allergic to chlorine but still finds chlorine to like dry out their skin, have skin issues?
It's not as bad.
No, it's wonderful.
Taken sodium and through electrolysis turned it into a non-toxic chlorine molecule is what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a very good explanation.
Okay. It's probably not as healing as the ocean salt water is.
Correct.
Is it?
Okay. It also doesn't have the bacteria that the ocean has in it.
No problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't have plastic bags.
No living creatures.
Yeah, no living creatures. Unless you're like three, and
there's
a stingray on the bottom, and it could come to life at any moment. So let's talk about buoyancy in the water. Another fallacy that people, everybody thinks. So even Rochelle. I've tried a million times to convince Rochelle that she will not sink in this pool.
I'll sink. She'll show us. She'll prove it.
Yeah, she will.
I'm not hurt.
So, the deal about that is, you guys, is most people who have any kind of preconceived notion about what's going to happen to them when they get in the water is something that has been drilled into their mind for years. So let's think about this. Let's take this down to the very beginning. When you start to be a toddler, and as parents or aunts, however you've been around children, you know that as soon as they start toddling, we start saying, don't go near the water, you will drown. Do not go near the water. Stay away from the water. Don't go near the water. Stay away from the water. Back, 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 back. Okay? Then when they turn three, we want to take them to the swimming pool and say, okay, now we're going to go swimming, and I'm not getting in with you. So what happens is when your three-year-old, they're fearful. They've been told all this time not to go near the water. Well, so say you don't ever get to go have swimming lessons, and you're an adult now, and you have never had swimming lessons. You are certain that you are going to sink. And so our instinct when we get into the water as an adult is to fight with the water. So anytime we're around solid resistance, we can grab a hold of something. We can put our feet down on the floor and stand up. We can hold on to things. When we're doing exercise, we push against things. Well, when we're in the water, we have nothing. Literally nothing. No solid resistance. Our instinct, the fight or flight instinct that we all have, says, I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to climb my way out of this water. Well, you're not. What happens is you start to fight with the water, and that's when we start to sink. Because when you're fighting with the water, you might be horizontal, and then we start to fight. We go vertical, which gives us less surface area on the water, and then we start to sink. Okay? So when we have guests in the water for the first time, I'm going to back the train up. Are you guys, I know Rochelle's swim level. How about the rest of you guys? Swimming?
I learned how to swim when I was 35, so okay. I'm not great.
Okay. So you're kind of understanding where we are. How about the rest of you guys? Swimmers?
Swimmers.
Mermaid. Awesome.
It's,
love it.
It's complicated. Okay. So
when we bring people into adults into the pool, the first thing that we definitely need to do is ask them what their swim level is. You know, what is your level of comfort in the pool? We teach about 16 fitness classes in this pool every week, and we have about, I'd say, 170 people on our list of people that randomly come and work out with us. I would say 30% of them are non-swimmers. The way we deal with that is, it's wonderful in this pool because we do have a shallow end. The unfortunate part of this pool is there's a great big giant first step.
And an extremely deep end.
Yeah, it's a big first step. There's no gradual incline. It does actually gradually go.
4, 5, 6.
It does
10,
gradually, yeah.
13.
Yeah.
13? Okay.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, yeah. For scuba.
Yeah, it's for scuba. Yeah.
But, oh, cool.
But we use toys. We use flotation vests. We use hand buoys. Hand buoys are exactly the opposite from dumbbells that you would use on dry land. Instead of lifting them, we press them, right? We use noodles. You can do all kinds of fun stuff with noodles in the pool for fitness. We have flotation cuffs. These cuffs up here on the top shelf go on your feet. So if you are lacking core strength or any strength in your hamstrings and glutes, those are harder than heck to keep under your body. Your feet will float up, whoop, just like that. So there's a lot of things that we can do to help people float in the water. But the point of this part of this conversation is to tell you that typically, you can't sink. You will not sink. When you get in the water today, I would like you to experiment with this just a little bit. And if you're a swimmer, you know, you can put your head down, you can dive down to the bottom, you can pick up a ring and you can put it back. If you're a non-swimmer, putting your head down is virtually impossible for those people without some coaching and some practice at it. And so they're going to stay horizontal on the water, and for the life of them, they cannot go to the bottom of the pool. Okay? I prove that to people pretty much on a daily basis, because I do primarily most of the private swim lessons with adults around here. And the reason is because I absolutely do not believe in people coming into the pool for the first time and making them put their face in the water. Why? Why? Why would we do that? There's no reason for it. So after they have gotten comfortable in the water, and we do a lot of like yoga-like things, like just holding onto the wall, just stretching, walking in the water so that they can actually find their balance. as you get into water, if you're in 3 feet of water, it's very simple to walk across the pool because primarily the upper part of your body is out of the water. You're fine. The deeper you get, the more floaty you get, and the harder it is to maintain your vertical balance as just walking across the pool. So we do that. We do a lot of that. And that really helps people get comfortable in the water. It helps them find their balance. And it also immediately starts gaining them some core strength. Because it takes a huge amount of core strength to walk around in the pool, right? And so that's why we brought yoga in, because it's marvelous. It's just resistance from every direction. The whole time you're in the water, whether you're playing, walking, moving, you have resistance. And it's a nice, gentle resistance. There's no impact. It's great. So that's a little bit about movement. Natalie is going to, are you going to do it in the water yoga class first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you do that class, think about these things that we've been talking about, because it will really, really help you to know what your students are feeling in the water and what they're thinking about. You know, this stuff is going through their head. Trust me, it's going through their head like rapid fire. They're wanting to know. All right, okay.
Do you have any tips for people? Like, for example, people come to my yoga class in the water that are not swimmers, and they're always afraid to get there, even with the belts and things like that they float no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically with that, we keep people up here in the shallow end, even with the belt on. They can stay vertical, but they stay in the shallow end because that's their comfort level. The more they come and the more they trust, they have to trust that belt is actually going to always float them no matter what, in the same way, every day, the same way. After they trust it enough, they will venture out,
mm-hmm.
just kind of on their own. They'll venture out, you know. And I don't usually say anything to them. I just let them play, experiment a little bit, you know, and then they'll work their way back, then maybe a little farther, mm-hmm. and, you know. And we have people now that are absolutely, totally not swimmers, and we know who they are, trust me, that actually work out in the deep water now perfectly comfortably with what we call the toys. They're not going to go down there without anything. Absolutely not. And we don't have to worry about that because they take care of that themselves. But they do. They gain. Mm-hmm. They get more confident,
yeah,
the more that they're in the water. So
how about safety? Do you want to talk about that?
That's exactly what we're going to do next. So when you're teaching yoga, and I'm hopeful, you guys, that someday you guys are going to be here teaching yoga in this pool. There's a couple of rules that we have to follow here. One is that if we have a teacher on the deck and students in the pool, there has to be a lifeguard or a water rescue person in this building. And I say it like that because all of our dive instructors, if you're here during the week, in the evenings or whatever, there might not be a lifeguard here, but if any of the dive instructors are here, they are water rescue people as well. One of those type of people has to be in this building while you're teaching yoga. So if you decide that the water is where you might like to spend some of your time, we teach lifeguard classes 3 or 4 times a year. Natalie is a lifeguard now. Nico is a lifeguard. And it's just that way you can be in this building by yourself with your students early morning, later evening, whatever. But somebody that has water rescue skills needs to be in the building with you. And that's primarily because of the deep water. We just want to make sure that, you know, everybody stays safe. So some of the safety skills that we're going to talk about now have primarily to do with the boards, the yoga boards. They are a challenge to get on. They're a challenge to stay on. Everybody falls off. There's no way you're not going to fall off that board at some point. And we experimented with this a lot when we first got these boards. We had a lot of fun doing this, but we learned a lot. We can't put the boards too close together because when you fall off, like I'm, you know, 5'9", I take up a lot of space in my fall. It's not just like, I would like to be able to fall straight off the board like in a vertical fashion, and that's our goal. Natalie's going to show you, if you feel like you're going to fall, step off the board. That way you'll most likely go in a little bit like this. But there's a lot of this. There's a lot of over backwards.
And the board shoots out.
No.
No.
We have anchor. Some carabiners anchored to the
lane lines.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll learn all that.
We learned that too because we were all over each other and you couldn't see the teacher and we're like turning and we can't.
Yeah,
like a powder board.
You fall off the board and it shoots across and kills your neighbor. Boom!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had some experienced water people in the pool when we were doing that. It was crazy funny. But.
And then probably can't be too close to the sides.
No, they're not.
We're in the middle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we put the two lane lines in so the boards go straight down the middle of the pool.
That's why we have eight. Mm-hmm. We bought 10. Okay. We just sold two because we're not going to have 10.
Okay.
The max is 8 per class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have plenty of space.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of space. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit of safety about that. When we're working out in the water, it's hard to imagine that you're sweating. Nobody understands that they're sweating while they're in the pool. So we encourage water bottles during workouts on the side of the pool. This pool is 86 degrees, so it's great for the little kids. It's still actually a little bit chilly for us swim teachers because we're standing there blowing bubbles for 3 hours at a time. And so we get cold. We actually wear wetsuits in this pool to teach swimming lessons. But for the kids that are in there for half an hour, they love it. It's beautiful. For our seniors that come and do water exercise classes, 86 degrees, they get in and go, "It's not 86 degrees today. No way."
Every class.
They can feel a half a degree.
Oh, yeah.
A half a degree. They can feel it. So in that skimmer over there on the other side of those blue mats, there's a thermometer in there. When in doubt, pull that bad boy out. Uh-huh. 86, people.
It's really funny. We should record, do memes of everyone.
I know. It is funny. But after they get going, you know, then they get warmed up and they're like, oh, yeah, I guess it is 86 degrees. But for those of us who like to work out at a little higher intensity, it's hot. It is hot. To swim laps in this pool, I sweat my fanny off in this pool. It's too hot. For swimming laps and actually doing workout training in this pool, it should be between 82 and 84. That would be optimal. But we are not going to turn the pool down. Trust me. We are not. So it's not as bad to get into. It is warm when you start to work out. So my point is, if you're doing even yoga in the pool and even if you're doing slow movement, you're moving, you are getting heated up and you will become dehydrated. So encourage water, 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 water. We even have the kids on our pre-competitive swim team bring their water bottles because it really makes a difference. You can tell, you can seriously tell. So you do sweat in this pool and you can tell everybody that they will sweat and they will warm up, so bring their water bottle. I want to talk just a little bit about some of you, like Rochelle I know is into other fitness stuff. Are any of the rest of you guys into any other kind of fitness training or any?
Besides yoga, you mean?
Yeah, besides yoga, yeah. So I want to talk just a little bit about target heart rate training, because when we're doing the yoga training on the boards, it can be cardio. It can be serious aerobic workout. And so I have some stuff for you here. Have you guys ever heard of heart rate training before? Training
based
according to your heart rate?
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it's the only way to train. Because you can't truly tell what your body is doing unless you're monitoring your heart rate. And so I have handouts for you guys. I really like and have used it for years, the Carvonin heart rate calculator, which teaches people how to take their heart rate, how in the middle of a workout to take 10 seconds, count your heartbeats, and calculate where you are in your training session. Okay? am I in my training zone? Doing yoga in the pool, I don't think you would ever address this really that much.
Well, we do warm up and I make him kind of
get a little hard.
It becomes a hybrid between a workout and yoga.
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
But it would be good to have him check that.
Yeah. So the, you can just take one of them and pass them around. Definitely if you're doing workout on the boards, two things happen when we ask people and when we tell them that we're going to heart rate train. Two things happen. It really suggests to them that we are seriously going to work out, for one thing. Now, our seniors, they're not really about that. They don't really come here to get a good workout. They come here to move in the water and talk.
Talk to their, it's a social time.
It's a social time for them. But I have been for years and years and years trying to convince people that you can work out in the water like no other. And it's a lot safer. It's a lot safer. I'm 60 years old, and I've been in the water, and it says so in the magazine.
For 40 years.
For 40 years. The reason we're laughing is because it also says that I've been a yoga instructor for 40 years, which is not true.
It just came out.
It just, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, I've done all kinds of other training too. You know, I am certified to teach aerobics through two different dryland aerobics. I have two different certifications for that. I've got two different certifications for water exercise training. I was a United States swimming coach for 15 years. I coach swimming, so I have a huge background in aquatics. Just so you know, I'm not just making all this stuff up. I've been to Colorado Springs training as a coach member of United States Swimming with Janet Evans and Matt Biondi. I've taken swimmers to junior nationals. So I've been in this for a long, long time, and so this is really dear to my heart. And training in the water is something that most people don't understand at all unless you are a swimmer. You can do other things in the water. I'm fairly certain that I haven't had to have two knee replacements because I keep myself in this pool. I have to wear knee braces when I hike downhill, but I don't have to wear them going uphill. I ride my horse actively. I do everything, but walking up and down the stairs, I'm not as likely to walk up and down the stairs with you and try to have a conversation with you because I will lose your attention because you will be hearing my knees go. So it's being in the water is awesome. And the more people that you can talk to, the more people that you talk to that have issues with their bodies, you know, that have the fibromyalgia. And 86 degrees, you guys, is okay for those people. The warmer the water for them, the better, but 86 degrees is okay for them. 83 and 84 degrees is not. It would cause them pain. Arthritis, people with arthritis, joint replacements, hip replacements, shoulder replacements, knee replacements, their physical therapist is going to suggest to them that they get in the water. Cindy and myself are both certified to work with those people. So as yoga instructors, you will have a lot of the skills too to work with those people to help them to carry on their PT, basically, is what they're doing. And most of the time, 90% of the time, after we have them in the water for a little while, they stay. Their PT is done, they're doing well, and they continue to come to water exercise classes because they have learned the benefit of being in the water. It's amazing. As to heart rate training though, you guys, I would read this stuff and then apply it to yourself. When you do your next workout, just try some heart rate training. Find out what your target heart rate is. It teaches you how, there's a little calculator on that sheet, tells you how to do it. Your resting heart rate is before you put your feet on the floor in the morning before you get out of bed. Before you put your feet on the floor. That is your true resting heart rate. Finding your heart rate while you're actively working out sometimes is a little bit difficult, but after you practice it for a little while, practice it a few times, you can find it fairly quickly. Once you do find your heart rate, in order to actually take a 10-second heart rate, looking at the clock, you have to stop what you're doing, basically, right? So it's very critically important that you get it right away, because within 5 seconds, your heart rate is dropping. So you want to make sure that you're trying to find that target heart rate quickly. And then get straight back to your workout. So what we're looking for with heart rate training is not how fast you get to achieve your target heart rate, but what are we actually looking for? We're looking for recovery time. It's all about recovery time. How fast does my heart rate come back down and I recover? If I leave here, if I walk out of this building and I'm sweating buckets, even after a cool down, and my heart rate is still like off the charts, that is a problem. That means something's going on. That should trigger somebody to say, you know, something's wrong. So what we're looking for is our recovery rate. And when I talk to the people in my classes about this stuff, you know, I ask them, they kind of know, after you've been doing it for a while, you know how your body feels, they kind of know where they are. I ask everybody all the time, how are you feeling? You know, everybody's pretty good. Some of the classes we have now, especially the people that work out with me, because they're like people that have been working out with me for 10 years here in this pool. And so now this is a big social time for them, but they're not that interested. But I can tell when something is going on with them. If somebody gets red-faced, it's not typically red-faced. You know, we need to be aware of that kind of stuff. Ask them if they're okay. If somebody goes to the edge of the pool to take a moment, we need to ask them if they're okay. What typically happens is they will work their way down here and start to get out of the pool. And as embarrassing as it may seem, I shout from the other end of the pool, Ernie, are you okay? And, you know, yeah, I just got to get a drink of water, or I got to pee, you know. But we need to know. So if people are getting out of your class, for heaven's sakes, ask them if they're okay, you know.
What are the most common issues that you have here, if you had?
Cramps. Cramps are the most common issue, especially when we go down to deep water, because we train every day. Most people, if they're going to come in and take a water exercise, because they do other stuff too, they're health conscious, right? They know, they're doing stuff, they're walking. So we walk around, we run, we do dry land aerobics, we do everything that shortens our muscles, short. Anything with impact, shorter muscles. Heavy lifting, shorter muscles. We need nice tight muscles to curl. Get in the water and everything immediately gets longer, because as you kick through the water, your feet are down. Say, so we're vertical like this. We walk around with our feet like this, right? Walk, mm-hmm. walk. We get in the water and we're gonna kick. And so the water is pushing our toes back and lengthening these anterior muscles here. It lengthens our calves when we kick to the front. Everything is getting longer, so we get down there and people get cramps. They're either dehydrated, they probably need some more potassium, some electrolytes, but mostly it's just because their muscles are short and they're not used to lengthening them like that. So cramping is the biggest issue, but we do have to pay attention to it. If they're down there with any of the tools, they're fine. We have them go over to the side of the pool, grab the rails. The easiest way to stretch a cramp out is on the ladders. Have them grab the rail. That way they can leverage, put their heel up against the wall and pull themselves and stretch it out, you know. Once people get cramps down there, though, they're likely going to get them again and again the whole workout. So have them ease up. Just have them ease up and take it easy, because once you start to get them, odds are they're not going to go away for good. You're not going to stretch it out once and it's going to be gone. It's going to come back.
I had him for like 20-something minutes in one of my first times doing this, and my calves. And it's like I stretch, they will come back. It was like that. It was brutal.
They do. I know. That's why you can't really work them out once they come. We have a water cooler over there. You know, if people, I will hop out myself to get people water if they need it. Whatever we have to do, but yeah, that's the biggest issue that we have down there is cramping in the water. But if they don't have any tools, like I typically don't work out with the belts. I'm not that crazy about the belts. When we put them on around our waist, they tend to ride up a little bit, and I don't like that. I typically work out with the hand buoys. So we still have flotation, but it's in our hands. It's not around us, which means we could lose it. So if people have hand buoys we need only, then we need to pay a little bit more attention to them than if they're wearing something that is on them stationary. If they just have things in their hands like the noodles, you know, we have to pay a little bit more attention. But
Do you have any difficulty with people who have a lot of arthritis in the hand or basal thumb arthritis?
Yes.
And handling these?
Great question. Yeah. Two things happen with the hand buoys. For one, anybody with shoulder injuries. So when we're in the water, these hand buoys, since they float, right? When we try to push them down, they push our shoulders up, which impinges your shoulders, right? So if we have anybody with any kind of shoulder injuries, we have them start out with these are the lightest, okay? These little guys are the lightest. Then they go up to these guys, these yellow guys. And then they go to these guys. Oops, sorry. and then the blue and the yellow are the heaviest. Very, very few women use the heaviest resistance hand buoys. I discourage them completely. I actually use the lightest ones because it doesn't matter how hard you try to keep your shoulders down. It's just going to happen. You're going to find that you're out there in the pool. At some point, you're like this. You're like, oh man, it doesn't feel good. Hand issues. When people first start to get in the pool with these, they death grip them just like this, and then their hands fall asleep. So what I do is we hold it like a monkey, thumb over the top of the bar, which does not allow you to death grip it. And then when we're pushing it down, I will have them just use their hand like this, very loose grip or no grip at all. And because it's pushing up, the water is pushing this up right into that little V where your hand is, and that way nobody has to put their fingers around it. And then when we're doing stuff like kicking or whatever, I have people rest their hands, have them bring their buoys up, rest their hands, whole hand over the bar. Rest your hands, shake it out, and just let them float. Always close to your shoulder, always close to your shoulders. If you are ever using these at all, do not let people float with them out here, because then they're doing this, right? Bad. Bad for shoulders also. But those are the biggest issues that we have with hand buoys. But they're great to work out with. They offer a lot of resistance. There's so many things we can do with them, too. You're gonna use noodles, right?
I'm gonna use everything.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because I want them to get a sense of what I use and how I actually cross, I go into more of I copy you a lot, okay. Some of the things you do, and so it's kind of a hybrid. The kind of block that you put between your thighs, mm-hmm. What other ways do you use it besides that? Because I've been using it in the classes, in the water classes, the one when mm-hmm. we swim and we don't use mm-hmm. the legs. Mm-hmm. Do you have other ways to use those?
Not so much. I don't really use those that much.
Okay.
She's talking about what we call a pull buoy. Are they over there?
They were there, but now they're gone.
Are they in that bucket?
I don't know.
No, the blue one. Are they in there?
No.
Really?
No.
Well, we have some that are block style. They're smaller. We actually use them for the kids, but we also have these. These go between your legs right here.
Oh, they're right there.
Oh, yeah. They go between your legs right here, mm-hmm. and you can swim, and they'll hold your butt up. Mm-hmm. And you can focus on pulling and not kicking.
Oh,
that's great.
So it really, when we're training with these with swimmers, we use them so that we can train for hand position. Mm-hmm. And they can focus on their hand and their body roll in the water.
Cool. Yeah, like we use this, like doing chair pose or like that. I'm just thinking of questions.
Yeah, you guys, ask any questions. Is there any questions? It's really fun. You guys are gonna love the water. Mm-hmm. You can be seaweed.
Yes, we do a lot of seaweed.
Love it. It's awesome.
For years, I used to rent pools because there's certain clients. As a yoga therapist, when I work one-on-one, there's certain clients, especially with spine conditions, that the gravity doesn't help. So the PT sends them to me, and we work on the pool. I mean, the benefits of working on the pool are fantastic. If you have disc herniations, stenosis, scoliosis, things like that, they're amazing. We did the psoas workshop yesterday, and I want to do the psoas workshop back in September in the water, because I just find that it's one of the best stretches for the psoas and release for the psoas. Just working in the water. It's pretty amazing. There's things that we cannot do in dry land, and you have all this in the pool that you can do, and even the range of motion and the things that, like in a flow yoga class, that your body doesn't allow it to do, like jumping through, or we do it here, you know? So you get to do all these other postures. You're like, hell no, I'm not doing them. Mm-hmm. But here, they become easier.
Are there any contraindications for somebody who does have herniated disc and scoliosis, like anything that they absolutely should not do while they're in the water?
Well, it depends. So, of course, let's say someone has a herniation and let's say the disc is just bulging on the right. Well, I wouldn't do a lot of things where they're using the oblique on the right, just crunching that side. Mm-hmm. I would work more on lengthening. It's good to know what's their curvature pattern, the scoliosis, or what's happening exactly. So I think you can benefit in water, but you can also, it can be a detriment. But you need to know what's going on with the client, especially when you're working one-on-one, you will know. But not everything is applicable for everyone. But I think water is way more forgiving for all these conditions. And posture issues, back pain, for example, the moment you get in water and that gets resolved, it tells you is where you're carrying yourself, right? It's all posture. So it's like it gives you, like, if you're able to get this response of not having pain anymore because you're in water, how can we emulate whatever is happening here in dry land? So it's informing. Water will be informing your dry land yoga practice. In dry land, I don't feel fluid. And in yoga, we always talk about flow and fluidity. Well, it wasn't until I feel my body in water and the fluidity of it that I can think of translating, my body can translate that. How can I find fluidity in the rigidity of my my tight birthday suit, basically. You know, I'm tight, my body. So translating that. That's why I like the combo. My students that come to the Wednesday water yoga class are my students that come to my Mondays and Fridays at the studio. And I've seen their practice changing because of what they're doing here. So there was a shift since they started doing this. So it's always just this play between being grounded and then being buoyant. So I love it.
So are you pioneering this? Is this a new development, water yoga?
Well,
we're not inventing the wheel here.
No, we're not.
We're just
well, I would say we're pioneering it in the Rogue Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've been like trying. Before Kathy had this place, there was a couple, Christy and right? Uh-huh. And they were my students when I used to be a Rasa. And they were scuba divers, and I used to do yoga classes with them. And
That's how we met, yeah.
And then when I got into scuba diving, I sent them an email, a text. It said, "I know, I appreciate what you had and never care about. Oh, I don't have it anymore. Talk to Kathy."
And you were in Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed gear right away because I was leaving and I needed everything. And she sent me. But then a lot of your clients, they know me from, I work privately with them, or they came to my classes. So they knew me and you knew of me. And then I started spending so much time here that she said, "You probably need a room." All right. You need to move in.
Right.
So why don't you give me that room?
So I did. I gave her the room. She went up
room.
There, she cleaned it out, she painted it.
And then we converted to a yoga studio. And then I had the pleasure of just doing a 6 months, 8 months, I don't remember. Tuesdays and Thursdays here, and then just we moved into water. So we've been trying to incorporate it, and because we know the benefits of both, and it's such a nice combination. So we are trying. We'll see. But now that we're famous on the Healthy Living magazine, maybe we get more people coming and say, "Wow, this is so cool."
Have too many people.
But the thing that for me it was like, I couldn't believe that no one knew in my world of this place, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm the only one traveling from Ashland every day here, you know, like, in a way, I also don't want everyone to know. And I'm so glad that this is not an open pool, because people ask me, "Oh, can I bring my kids?" And no, no, please, no.
No.
Okay, this is classes. You go, you come to classes, you take courses or things like that. And that's why it's kept this way. But I think more people need to know that this exists. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, we do, obviously, swim lessons. We do a lot of swimming lessons. But, you know, there's a lot of times that this pool is available because it's like hours of people where people are working, kids are in school, and those are our quiet times. But those are great times to offer a class mm-hmm. in here. Yeah.
My Wednesday's at noon.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, there's pool time here. Yeah. You know, so once you're part of the family.
Did you hear that fish?
Yeah, they're jumping now. We feed them.
When you were saying earlier that the most common thing that happens is cramps if something mm-hmm. goes wrong, and if it you say it just keep it. And once it starts, it's kind of hard to stop. Would you tell them to just leave the pool at that point?
I
keep
don't.
Them in the pool.
I keep them in the pool and just have them walk back and forth in the deep water. No resistance. You know, just nice and easy. So that, and I also ask people a lot to focus on what muscles they're working on. And when somebody has cramps in their calves or whatnot, you can focus some brain cells to that spot and not let it happen again. But you have to slow it down, and you have to be, you know, aware. And so I just have people go easy. Sometimes I'll have them come up and walk, literally walk on the in the shallow end. But no, I don't ever ask people to get out of the pool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
cool.
So, did I hear you say walk in the deep end earlier?
Uh-huh, walking in the deep end, like walking.
We're walking. Gonna walk.
With no, yeah.
With no resistance, it's great. It's great. It's absolutely great.
So how do you not sink then if you're walking vertically?
Oh, with the
buoys. Yeah.
Okay. I
You're gonna have. You're gonna.
I felt her heart rate go up just now.
I saw her eyes.
I know. I felt it. Oh no.
It's okay. We'll save you.
So if this is great for the elderly population, how do you normally handle hearing aids?
Hearing aids. That's an interesting question. Most of the seniors don't wear them in the pool. They just don't. And we talk loudly.
But sounds carries more, mm-hmm. right?
It does, you know.
It depends on the environment.
Yeah.
It does. It totally does. I've heard some people will tell me that it echoes down in the tank itself, like when your head is in the pool, mm-hmm. you know, at surface level, obviously, but it kind of echoes in there, but... We talk louder for when we know that somebody has a hearing issue. It seems to be okay, you know?
Well, I ask for obvious reasons, but also because I have better than perfect bone conduction.
Mm-hmm.
And so certain environments, I can actually hear better than I can with my hearing aids on where
I
land.
Right.
But other conditions, like I could be in a bathtub with three enclosed walls and that works. I can hear like a normal conversation with no hearing aids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But with my hearing aids on dry land, in most situations, I can't make out what you're saying unless I'm looking at your mouth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so even not wearing them in the pool won't do me any good. They're on high right now.
Right.
So every noise is amplified. Because they're on high, just understand what's going on.
Right.
Too big.
And so it all depends.
Yeah.
But I might be able to actually hear. It just, I will never know until I get in without them.
Right.
And then
exactly.
I have to get out and come back in and, and go for
it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was just curious because I know in the elderly population, they probably wear them a lot.
They do.
But they don't have to.
They do. We have a lot of men. In fact, I'd say probably half of them have hearing aids. But
their wife made them.
Yeah, right?
They didn't hear aids.
Yeah, including my husband.
Don't tune me out.
You realize why people take them out.
What's that?
Only when you wear them do you realize why people take them out and refuse to wear them, because they're miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually, everyone thinks, oh, you can hear now, you have a hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear your water bottle hit the floor really well.
I know.
But your voice is still really hard.
Yeah. And we talk fast to each other, too. There's a lot of low.
And the auditory processing is slowed down. The brain goes much faster than hearing aids. And even microseconds are just, it makes a difference. And so it's like you're replaying the conversation 9 times back in your head to go, what did I miss? Oh, I said the wrong thing.
Is your voice, how does it impact how you hear your own voice in your own head?
Well, that's one of the things, because I have perfect bone conduction, my voice sounds really loud. Like right now I sound like I'm yelling. And so I talk really quiet because I'm overcompensating. And so I'll be trying to do something and everyone's like, I can't hear you, and I'm like, I can hear me just great.
My husband wears them too, and
horrible.
Yeah.
People
exactly
talk to
like
you while
that.
I'm eating, that's the loudest thing going on. I can't hear you. It's funny.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
My husband does that to me. He'll have his hearing aids in. I got them for him for Christmas. He was in denial. I paid for them. I got them for him. And not so much for me, but he has a very public job. He won't wear them at home. But when he does have them in, it talks to me like about this one. Then I'll say, I can't hear you. I can't hear you! He's like, need some hearing aids? It's not funny.
Oh, God, I know.
What are the most, let's say, common conditions for people that are coming to you here to all the classes? What are they here for? What are the things that the doctors are sending them for?
Arthritis and joint replacements. Those are the two biggest things. Arthritis and joint replacement. And we get a lot of... I try to keep this affordable, you guys, so that the senior population in Jackson County can afford to come here. We don't do any billing through insurance companies or anything like that. And quite frankly, the way things are right now, most of those folks don't have any insurance anyway that will cover this. So I try to keep it as affordable as I possibly can. And so we get a lot of folks that are on, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever they're on. They can't afford to do much else. They can come in here. Most of them are 300 pounds or better. And it just feels so good to them to get off their feet.
Yeah.
So.
Now, is it for classes or private sessions or both?
Both, yeah. The one thing that I do, since we're not a public pool, and you do not need to worry about me ever going to that in that direction. I will not. Not as long as I'm here. But what I do is once people are part of our program, I call it in our family. The hours that the pool is available, which is typically noon to 2 every day, the pool is sitting here looking just like this. I invite those people, if they would like to come in, it's the same price as their class, but they can come in and just walk, do what they've learned to do in class, whatever they'd like to do.
Open pool.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, it's open pool for our family members, but, and so we get a lot of those people that like to do that, you know. Some of the men are not as inclined to be a part of a class situation, but they still love to come in and get in the pool, and it's quiet. You know, it's really nice.
It's really nice to see. When I come here, there's maybe 1, 2, 3, but in general, there's one person. Like, and so it's like it's your private time. Yeah.
Yeah, and like so, with yoga, you could do that at home, but with a pool exercise, right. Something that you've taught them, it's really difficult to do that at home.
Uh-huh. Right.
It just gives them that opportunity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, if a group of my friends would be willing to come here for, you know, I have a group of friends that would be willing to do a yoga class for me to mm-hmm. practice training. Mm-hmm. But would if they were willing to come here for a practice class, would that be okay?
We'll talk about that because that's not part of the requirement as the curriculum of becoming a 200-hour yoga mm-hmm. teacher. So that it's something that would be completely separate that maybe once you become a yoga teacher can talk to her about okay. it. But not at the moment, unless, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Kathy,
sorry, go ahead, Deborah.
I assume you're talking about osteoarthritis. Are you also talking about autoimmune, like rheumatoid arthritis
yeah.
as well?
Yeah,
and,
both.
And fibromyalgia mm-hmm. as well, those type of things. Do you ever find that the beginning student, the class is too much and that they'll feel okay in the pool because the pain's relieved, but then the next day they're in trouble?
You know, I haven't had anybody come and report to me that they were in serious trouble the following day. We talk about that with those guests. We offer a class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon. It's called a back wellness class. So any of the people that we think are compromised in any way more than just past normal, we suggest that they start out in that class because we do not do any cardio or anything like that in that class. That class consists of range of motion work. They start up here and then they go to the deep water, but it's all slow. It's all just like really geared toward what they need. And when they fill out their waiver, we like to know everything that's wrong with them.
Yeah.
You know, and we ask people to please be honest with us because we don't want to hurt you. We don't want to send you home in pain. We want to send you home not in pain. And so we get pretty honest feedback from that. And then they get into that class, and that is the biggest class where we have to help people in and out of the pool. Mm-hmm.
Repeat those days for me again.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
At when?
From 11 to 12, 11 a.m. to noon.
Can you have something with your first schedule on it?
Sure. Okay. I can get that for you, yeah. And it's called the back wellness class, and that's primarily what it is. It's, you know, those folks that aren't moving around as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
so my second question was going to be, what demographic is typically on the boards, and what demographic is not on the boards?
So we have to kind of dictate that. When we first started these classes on the boards, we had everybody wanting to do it because it looks like fun, and it is fun, but it's so hard. And we actually, this is devastating. We had a gal crack a rib trying to get on the board. Yeah,
you basically have to muscle up to get on the board.
You do. You have to heave your little body up there. You know, it's hoot.
It doesn't look very graceful.
It's not like surfing.
No, no, it's not graceful. It's not glamorous. It's hilarious. It's fun.
We had to do it for the photographer. He did videos and stuff. We had to climb up and down and fall. Like, there's some pictures there, like, not graceful. But on purpose, we wanted to make sure that they knew this is not for everyone.
Yeah, if you don't want to get your hair wet, this class is not for you. If you no, you think I'm kidding? I would say how many of our women do not want to get their hair wet? Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
My hair is wet and her hair is wet. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my water class, my yoga class, we don't get underwater, but they bring their hair up and they have their makeup, some of them, and they want to make sure they don't get wet. And then at the end, they say, I have no idea how you don't get wet.
But no, they don't.
It's like, nothing.
No, I'm like, their little soft hairs are barely wet.
They're holding themselves. Yeah.
But with this, with the boards, we teach you how to fall. So we want you to fall at least once just to feel comfortable falling. Yeah. And then get up. And if you have shoulder issues, it's harder to use if you have rotator cuff issues or other things.
So to answer your question, we screen the people that are going to take this class. We flat out tell them, this is hard. We actually show them, you know, you're going to be putting your hands on this board and heaving yourself up onto it, possibly in the deep water. Mm-hmm. Do you think you can do that? You know, and they'll say, maybe, maybe not, you know. In the shallow water, you can obviously hop off the bottom, you know, to do that. But if you end up on a board that's in the deeper water, you have no solid resistance to bounce off of. So we kind of screen those people, and that demographic has turned out to be a whole lot younger people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I envision that it's going to be younger people and also kids, teens coming with a mother, because you can get them into something like this where you will not get them into a water yoga class.
Skateboarders.
Yeah, and so, Rochelle, I would love to put an invitation on your wall to invite your people to come and try this.
Yes.
I tell people all the time to come here. I tell my clients, I tell everybody at our gym. I'm like,
but for this one, it's going to be such a workout. That, and your people work out a lot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like Tyler to come and do it.
You'd probably love it.
I think he would.
Yeah, I don't think he has. I told him, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to learn today. I don't know what I'm going to learn in water yoga. But I think he probably really would.
Well, yoga itself on the boards. So Natalie's been talking a lot about yoga in the pool and how forgiving the water is and how wonderful it is, and it totally is. Yoga, a standard flow yoga class, which is kind of what we do, right? On the board is the most challenging core workout you will ever, ever do.
Unforgiving.
You will awaken muscle groups in your body that have not said hello to you for a long time.
And it's not good for photo shoots.
So now we're all going home.
It's never looking good.
Where you scared us totally away. No. Yeah.
But it's so fun.
It is fun.
Because no matter how it's like, you're not going to look good. It's like you have to make fun of it. It's like you're falling when you think you're going to come up.
Let's talk a second. With that being said, the non-glamour part of it. We also, women's swimwear, not flattering on a board. Not. Yoga pants, yoga shorts, jammers. We started bringing in jammers for women, like the shorts, swim shorts for women. But standard swimwear, bikini, even a one-piece suit, your fanny is going to be in the air a lot. It's, you know.
My sister did it with her little tiny
itsy bitsy.
You might have told us this before.
I forgot, but it's just us.
It's just you guys. But
it's us. But my sister basically said, just take the thing off. This is ridiculous how it ends up on your shoulder. And I see everything. So it's like
buns and boobs everywhere.
I use my shorts for everything, for swimming and everything. But I put rash guard too. Mm-hmm. Also because you're in and out of the water. Mm-hmm. So you might be getting a little bit colder when it's not summer.
All I heard was swimwear.
It's my fault, but it doesn't matter.
We just have one bathing suit.
I am not
so going to
take pictures of that.
So
makes it more fun.
If you talk to people about it, though, you might recommend, you know, a rash guard for women, especially, and not a swimsuit style bottoms. Some shorts of some type, you know. Even surf shorts, even board shorts work.
Do you ever have non-swimmers on the boards using the toys?
We haven't yet. We haven't.
In the previous teacher training, the one I did in September, there were 16 trainees, and I brought them here. And there was Joe.
Mm, right.
who before, he's a vet, and before that he used to surf, and just being on the boards, it just rekindled that surf. I said, oh my God, I didn't think I could surf again, and just feeling the balance and all that, he went on into working on that and also became a scuba diver, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
All like the, you start feeling that confidence because it's working with balance, but it's supported and it's contained. You're not out in the ocean yeah. here.
Right.
Yeah. Any more questions that you can have for Kathy?
Yeah, well, I would invite you all to come take any of our classes. Mm-hmm. I'll get some schedules for you so you can see.
Yeah,
what's
we
going
start
on
with yeah. the yoga boards on the 21st. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at 8:30 a.m., so it's going to be for now a 45 minute class, and in the future, possibly we'll get one of you to teach the Saturday mornings, right?
Yeah, we're seriously. I posted some stuff on Facebook about starting this, and so I started a pre-sign up. I think we're going to have a full class for, like, right out of the gate, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of requests on Facebook for a Saturday morning class because I work, I can't come. So I posted, if we can get enough people on a list that are interested in a Saturday at 8 a.m. class, we would be happy to put it on the books. So, but we would need to find an instructor for it. And I'm talking, like, yoga, like a float fit class,
mm-hmm.
not a cardio class, not a water CrossFit class, but a float fit yoga class.
Are we calling yeah. it float or flow?
Float fit.
Float fit is the brand.
Mm-hmm. It's a
so
brand.
If you look float fit and you mm-hmm. can see
like
online,
stuff.
They have on mm-hmm. YouTube
okay.
some information. But I'll talk to you, a couple of you, about becoming, like, teaching. Because, well, Rachelle and Candace, they already have that experience of
mm-hmm.
teaching. That can be a possibility. And mm-hmm. also, I invite you to come and observe the classes. If you're interested in teaching on the boards, you can come and watch me or Nico teach it on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 a.m.
You can participate, too.
Yeah. Well, if there's room in
yeah.
the boards.
Yeah.
Because if we have a full... Yeah, you can participate for sure if we have a board for you.
Well, there's always going to be one because there's going to be mine. I would give it up.
Oh,
for one of these
okay.
guys.
She's going to be taking
it. Oh, the reason this class is coming is because I want to take it.
So you haven't worked with teenagers yet?
Hmm?
Or kids? Just all adults so
all
far?
Adults.
All
yeah.
adults.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time they're at school.
Yeah.
Oh. And then I'm going to be out of town and I would like a sub, either, well, Kathy or Nico or one of you that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's on your radar to actually teach something like this, then start coming as soon as we start and get mm-hmm. comfortable with it.
Oh. So do you go through, like, each of your class, like, if you have new people? Because
mm-hmm.
you only have 8 boards, so you
mm-hmm.
recognize when somebody is new. Do you go through protocol of how to fall properly and all that with those people each time?
That's what I would
Yeah,
like.
We have to. And it just takes a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it just takes a couple
easy.
Minutes, yeah.
You want to make sure that today they can actually get on the board because
yeah. Yeah.
maybe last week they were able, but this week something
mm-hmm.
happened and they're not able,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's really fast and yeah.
Okay. Yep.
The water tends to be relaxing to the nervous system. Do you find that a typical flow class is more like charging, but then in the water it's less like antagonistic?
Well, what I find is you come to the class with maybe the worst mood of your day, and everybody leaves
mm-hmm.
happy no
yeah.
matter what they're doing in the water.
Right.
Yeah. On the yoga boards, unless you crack a rib like that happened, even if you fall 1,000 times, you are just having fun. There's something about water that it just turns on that parasympathetic nervous system, and it's relaxing the whole way, either because it's high energy, having fun, falling and all that, it's challenging, or because you are just feeling that fluidity. But it's always, I never seen anyone coming leaving with a, like, oh, I wish I didn't come today. It's actually quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
people mm-hmm. come, sometimes people come and when we're changing, they say, I really didn't want to come, or today is not my day, but I just mm-hmm. knew that I have to make
right.
myself come because it's going to be fine as soon as I get in the water. It is.
Right. That's why I came. the thing that motivated me, besides the fact that I need my hours and that you said it, is I knew I was coming into the water. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, because I had such a rough few days. Mm-hmm. But I knew I'm coming to the water. And it, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and the population that you wanted to teach, it was so important for you to be here today.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, because I love being in the water. My father was an old-time physician, because he's 96 now, and so he didn't have all those drugs and everything, and he was always sending his patients to the water, mm-hmm. always sending them in for water therapy, hydrotherapy, constantly. Mm-hmm. If they were having any kind of prolonged pain or difficulties or things, he sent them to the YMCA to get water therapy.
Did you read the book Blue Mind? It's beautiful. It's all about water. It's all neuroscience.
What's it called?
Blue Mind.
Blue Mind.
Blue Mind.
Kathy, are the boards, could they be used in, say, Immigrant Lake also? Mm. Have you thought about
that?
Yeah. They have the skag on the bottom?
No, they don't have a skag on the bottom.
Yeah,
for open water, most people are going to want to use an SUP, a stand-up paddleboard, something with a skag, because
exactly.
Two things have to happen. You have to leash it to your ankle, because when you fall off of any board, it's going to push away from you, a long ways away from you. They don't stop, they just keep sailing.
And it needs to be anchored also.
Yeah.
That's how I...
You can free water it, you can, but...
But if you're trying to keep a class together,
people
just float away.
Yeah, and our boards here... Our boards are not going to see any water but this water.
Yeah, so it would mean another investment. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An extra swimmer to go get their boards.
No.
Actually, a boat would probably do it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when I say they keep going, I'm serious. They keep going.
I thought a paddleboard looked easy.
Stand-up paddleboard?
Stand-up paddleboard.
I love it! It's my favorite thing.
This really is hard.
Did you ever do classes when Laura Macaluso, that was her specialty, she was doing paddleboards, and then she rented at Jackson Wellsprings during the summer, and we'll do it there.
Yeah.
But then she was making zero money because the class was like $20 renting and getting, and the max was 6 paddle boards, and so she sold a couple to me, so I have my paddle boards, and I go, and that's why I thought, this should be something on the pool for the winter, and so that's why I researched, can we buy this? Okay, but the two that we sold, we had extra two, and I put them on Facebook, and I sold them. She wanted to take it to Emigrant Lake and all that, but she has a pool also.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not. I mean, take it back close or anchor it, but it's not that you're going to be going places. It's a rectangle.
I just meant specifically for having classes. Yeah.
I was going to ask, are we going to be getting in the water soon?
Yes, we are, but I want to squeeze everything out of Kathy before she leaves, because she's not going to stay, and I want to make sure that all the questions, anything about water that she can answer, she's an expert, and I know that if we ask her questions, she's going to get so many amazing answers for us. So I'm just trying to think, what else can I ask her?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about, I think, in the beginning, I could say you talked about what not to do or what causes sinking, but what you didn't, I think, talk about is what's the opposite then? What to do to just allow your body to not sink?
I am not kidding. I do this all the time. All the time. We will stand on the side and breathe. Just breathe. Because you can literally watch. Two things happen when people get anxiety. They start to breathe at the top of their lungs, and I call it breathing on a full tank, because they start out, they're getting in the water, and they're in the water now.
Uh-huh. Trying to pull up out of their body.
Uh-huh. And their lungs are completely full of air, and anxiety has swallowed them up. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to take a big, giant, deep breath, and they only have a space for a little, giant, deep breath. I'm going to get rid of all of it. All of it.
Exhale completely.
Exhale completely. Now let's start over.
Uh-huh.
And I tell them all the time, we are going to put our Zen on, and we are going to live in this water, and we're going to live with this water. Mm-hmm. We are not going to fight with this water. And as soon as I can have them breathing, we're making progress, you know. And then I talk all the time with those people about not fighting with the water. We cannot fight with the water. The water will win. Mm-hmm. Do not fight with it.
So you know, is contracting and gripping in your body is a part of fighting it,
yes,
would you
it
say,
is.
Right?
Yes,
so,
it is.
Yeah, so you mean like release the tension
yep.
in your system and
just
let
release
it do its thing,
mm-hmm.
trust that.
And when that happens, those people, you can actually watch them get lighter mm-hmm. in the water. They actually get lighter in the water. Mm-hmm. And we walk back and forth across the shallow end with one hand on the wall. Sometimes it's one hand on the wall and one hand in my hand mm-hmm. on the other side. And we walk back and forth, and then we breathe. And then we walk back and we breathe, and we breathe, and we breathe. And then we'll get our shoulders in the water. Water here is one level. Water here is taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. Water here is the next level. It's like, oh, you know. But, so yeah, it's all about not fighting with the water. And it's all about the peacefulness and having them accept that. The people that I get in, the adult people that I get in that want to take swim lessons, two things have to happen. They really, really want it. They want it, or they would not be here. They're terrified, but they want, for some reason, they want it bad. The number one reason most seniors want to be in the water is so they can be in the water with their grandkids. That's the number one reason.
Nice.
So they can get into the pool with their grandkids. They don't want to learn how to swim. Mm-hmm. They don't care less about swimming. All they want to do is be comfortable standing on their feet in the water, be comfortable getting splashed. That's the next level, mm-hmm. being splashed in the face. Mm-hmm. You know, I could swear to God that a lot of those people have been dry cleaning themselves. I don't know, but I could swear it. You know,
shower.
I'm just positive. this sounds absurd, but
yeah.
because I own this place, but my husband doesn't swim. You cannot teach someone how to swim if they don't go to the pool, right? He is now an awesome scuba diver because he has air in his mouth and fins on his feet
mm-hmm.
so he can move.
Mm-hmm.
And he can kind of roll over on his back. Mm-hmm. And if push came to shove, I think he could motor himself somewhere that way, I think.
But, he's always scuba diving with you.
Yeah, he won't go diving without me. It's not allowed.
He doesn't snorkel though, huh?
No, he does not snorkel. No. He'll scuba on the surface.
Oh yeah, you have your flute.
Yeah. He's got his life jacket on.
It.
It's great. Yeah, the tools, it's all about having the right tools.
It is. Equipment is everything.
Yeah.
But for people who, you know, want to learn that kind of stuff, it's a step process. And I go slow. And I always ask people, what are your goals? What are your goals? What do you want out of this? Mm-hmm. You know, I've had gals come in here who hugged the wall. Just even thinking, they were in here because they wanted to take swimming lessons. But they were hugging the wall while they were looking at the pool.
Like a phobia,
this is
huh?
gonna be tough. You know? But you can get them to their goals because it's their goal. It's not my goal for them.
Right.
I don't set goals for people. I want to know what their goals are. If they just want to be comfortable, then by God, that's what we're going to do. If they want to swim a triathlon, then we're going to do that. It may take a year, but we can get there. I've done it. I've done it with lots of people. But it's a time commitment. And I tell people, being in the water, being with the water, is a matter of doing it a lot. You can't just come to a once a week swim lesson and think that I am going to wave my magic wand over you and you are going to be comfortable in the water, it's not going to happen. You have to get in the water and get in the water and get in the water, because it's about being used to it. We weren't designed. I tell people this all the time. We were not designed, our bodies, to be in the water. We're not fish. We don't have gills. We were designed to walk on the planet. So taking ourselves and putting ourselves in there, we weren't designed to do it. So we have to learn things. And the more you're in the water, the more comfortable you are in the water. So I'm safely, and can in all honesty tell you that I am more comfortable in there than I am on a soccer field or anywhere else. I mean, because that is my environment. I've made that my environment. But it's, so we just have to really embrace that with people, I would say, you know. And I'm fairly certain that's why I get a lot of adult privates. I mean, a lot of professional people. And the other thing, too, is this quiet time. Adult professional people that don't know how to swim are embarrassed. Embarrassed as all get out. And they are not, no matter how bad they want to get in the water, they're not going to go to a pool and risk running into a patient.
Being vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or running into somebody that they know. So this quiet time that we have in this pool really allows us to say, nobody's in the pool at 11:30 on Thursdays. Would you like to come then? And they are all over that. You know? So, yeah, it's... It just takes some time, but, you know, that is not overcomable.
No, go ahead.
Well, one thing about floating, can you talk a little bit about why I see people that are able to float and people that are not, like,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like my sister's boyfriend, you know, Victor,
mm-hmm.
you can, well, he says because he's Mayan,
mm-hmm.
Mayans don't float.
No.
You go straight down to the bottom.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
no,
true.
Doesn't that have to do with body composition?
It's totally about body. That's exactly what it is.
He's a short, small, muscle,
wiry,
bone,
yeah,
straight.
Tight, yeah,
he's a master scuba diver. He can swim, but he goes down to the bottom.
So this comes up even with little tiny children. This is just a fact. Girls and boys are not built the same. Little girls and us big girls, we typically float. Our bones are not as dense, and our muscles are not as dense. So higher bone density, denser muscles, more muscle mass. You know, if your BMI is, like, off the charts, you know, if you have, like, no body fat, I'm not going to be here to say, tell you that I have no body fat. Trust me, I do. I sink. But most girls will float. Women, larger women, bob like corks. Men and little boys typically sink.
When you say larger women, to be very specific, you mean women with high fat percentage.
Yes.
You don't just
yes.
mean
fat.
Big-boned, Amazon,
no.
muscle-bound women.
No.
Yeah.
Big-boned
okay.
women, sinker.
Yeah.
yeah. But, yeah, women that are overweight, it's kind of a running joke around here with some of our girls, and it was a little bosom, you know.
Uh-huh.
Dude,
they have their devices.
I'm going to tell you, this is such a funny story, you guys.
Cool.
We had a gal come in. To take scuba diving lessons, you have to do a surface swim,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to do a tread. Because what if something happens, you're diving on a boat, you have no air, you come up, and you're on the surface. So you got to do something. So we make sure people are somewhat safe, at least. They also get given tools to, you know, take care of that. But we had a gal come in and want to scuba dive. She weighed 365 pounds. She's Andy, our dive instructor. He's a younger guy, okay? So he was absolutely mortified. But it was time to do the tread. We do a 10-minute tread. They can do 5 minutes with a 5-pound weight out of the water, or they can just stay down there for the full 10 minutes. It's your choice.
Tread, that's underwater?
No, treading water,
yeah.
head up.
But
okay.
Yeah.
So they can, if they only want to be down there for 5 minutes and they can hold up a 5-pound weight while they're treading water, they get to do five. If they don't want to hold the weight, they have to go for the full 10.
I see.
This woman, she plops herself in the water. She goes down there and she goes, Give me the chair. No, seriously. Seriously. I'm just going to hang out down here and I can hold that chair out of the water. Okay. So Andy timidly goes over there, hands her a chair. She puts it on her chest and she just lays out there and literally almost fell asleep.
Wow.
Wow.
She will never drown.
No. She sat on the chair in water?
No. She held the chair out of the water on her chest. Yeah, because her boobs floated so high.
It's very beneficial to have some fuzz. You're not going to drown.
It's beneficial.
My point here, though, is
fat
floats. Yes, it does seriously float.
Does this work help with osteoporosis to build bone mass? Because you're in the water. You have to be gravity. Right,
impact.
This cannot be the only thing you do. If you have osteopenia, osteoporosis, you cannot rely on this. You rely on this for getting space in the joints and the lean muscles and all that. But for bone density, you really need the gravity.
You do. Yeah. We can do a little bit of stuff up here. Like, that's why I jog at the beginning of my workouts.
Yes.
Jogging and jumping jacks. Some impact, but still not a lot of impact. Impact that's not going to harm you, you know. But that's why I do it, basically.
I would say more for the arms. Upper back, yes, can help because when we use the buoys, the weights, and working the upper back, but just the legs, the fingers, and hips,
It's below, unless it's
Well,
spine,
no, because that's also a lot of spine. Upper back, too. Okay. So, yeah, but for the hips and stuff, no.
So you can use it for strength building that then supports you when you get on the land.
Yeah.
Whereas trying to build the strength on the land under gravity could be too much for your bones.
Right. That's a good point.
I'll tell you another thing.
Depending on how extreme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, people, another thing that you don't come and work out in the water for is to burn calories. Because we don't burn a lot of calories in the water. We could be moving, we could be heart rate training, but the fact of the matter is our walking body temperature is 98.6 degrees. The soon as we put our body in 86 degree water, our body's going, chilly, save energy, store fat. So it was pretty amazing when I was in Colorado Springs watching. They have a flume, right? And they hook all kinds of electronics up to these athletes. And I don't know if you guys ever watch swimming, but most of them look fairly lean, right? Well, underwater, watching them swim through glass underwater, they're all swimmers, especially if they started when they were 5 and are still swimming at 25, have a layer of fat on the outside of their body, about like this, like a seal would. And when they're underwater, it ripples.
Wow.
It is amazing to watch. It blew my mind. Those ripples of our body fat or fluid muscles cause drag. So for a professional swimmer, that's why they invented the laser suits, the suits that are like, and they're slick, you know, so that there's not that resistance. It was amazing.
Turned
I couldn't
them into
believe
race
it.
Cars.
Yeah, it was amazing. So little kids that have started swimming and maybe when they were 5 and they were a little chunky, when they started swimming, you know, a lot of kids will grow out of that. Those kids that started swimming and keep swimming and don't do anything else but swim are probably always going to be a little bit chunky. Which is not probably, I would say it might be a little bit unfortunate, but it's just the way it is.
It's not necessarily bad health-wise, though. It's actually shown that people who are underweight are worse off than people, you know.
Exactly.
And they talk so much about the adaptability of our bodies. It's amazing.
It is. It is amazing.
Which when you're healing is a good, the adaptability of the body to actually heal too, which demonstrates that as well.
Exactly.
In high school, we had to buy those suits. I was on the swimming and diving team. And we had to buy those suits, but you had to wear 3 of them.
Right.
To practice, and sometimes we wore clothing.
Yeah.
For the drag.
Drag,
Just to get more drag.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But effective.
Very.
More
drag just to build muscle? Or?
Well, just endurance. To improve your time. Endurance. Yeah. You're only wearing your slick swimsuit, you can go a lot faster.
It's resistance training. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Providing resistance.
I'm curious about this space up here, and if someone was going to had some creative ideas about using it and drawing folks there and or combining starting up there and then getting in the pool after.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
I'm open to
that,
anything
thinking about the population that you've talked about. Mm-hmm. Me working with and
mm-hmm.
you know
yeah we'll talk more about that because there's yeah because for example like the SOAS workshops or other workshops that I'm gonna be doing here on Sundays which is closed. We're probably going to start up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to translate it into the pool.
Cool.
There's also events happening here. Like there's birthday parties for kids. You see, there's a you can watch sharks while you're in the water.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, we show movies over the pool.
Oh, my God.
That's a movie screen. Yes.
So there is a lot of interaction. Like the scuba diving classes it goes up there and then we come down here. And, you know, there's
okay.
always that happening. So, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. The building multitasks a lot, you know. So if we have people in the pool, we have swim lessons in the pool till 6:30. Scuba class starts at 6 in the classroom, and then they come down, kids go out, you know. It's just, it's, mm-hmm. you know. But there's still lots of quiet hours, you know. So absolutely, I'm open to anything. I will tell you guys this. And this is not, I don't know how to say this, but it's been a learning curve for me. I'm not from here. I'm from Portland. And so when I came here, I had so much different idea of how things were going to be here, right? Well, learning curve. So this is not Ashland. So whenever we decide that we're going to do something, and it just got driven home with me again doing all this work with Natalie to the dynamic of this location, you know, this is Eagle Point, primarily, Central Point. It is not Ashland. The people around here, different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So we absolutely can't charge a lot for classes. No one will come.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
They won't.
I mean, in the population, I'm actually thinking about connecting yeah. with nonprofit and
that's
getting
beautiful.
Funding and support
you know.
For that.
Something mm-hmm. that I've always thought of, the Dom is right there. And there is so much we could do for them.
I've worked with vets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's
worked,
so
the
much.
Dom. The Domicillary is
yeah.
the Southern Oregon Veteran
in White
SORC's
City.
Rehabilitation
yeah.
Clinic Center and Clinic.
Yeah.
It's an inpatient and
for
outpatient
veterans.
For veterans.
Yeah.
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 When I worked there, they scored me to the classes because I will get, don't you get like lost,
oh,
in, the hallways?
Get lost in the
they
hallways?
There's 8 miles of hallways.
It's so crazy.
8 miles.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem healing to me.
It was like, yeah.
To live there?
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Oh,
it's
the
not.
Dormitories.
It's not.
No, it's the vets, the veterans.
Military veterans.
Uh-huh.
I know Tyler wanted me, since the time that he did, swim lessons with you as well. He's like, we need to talk to Kathy about doing, he wants to do like a workout here one time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's like, my people, like, they all are like, you know, trying to
sure.
do triathlon stuff that,
absolutely.
You know, only two of them actually
yeah.
do any practice swimming, you know, but
right.
he was like, I think it would be super fun to just like bring some weights down, you know, like barbells or dumbbells or whatever.
Absolutely.
Bed balls and like,
absolutely. Have him go to the Speedo website.
Mm-hmm.
Speedo has, they have all kinds of stuff that's, you know, specifically for the pool, but basically it's medicine balls
mm-hmm.
and just the regular stuff. The only thing that we can't put in the pool is, like, the iron stuff.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
I think he's thinking, like,
yeah.
on
you know, do swim from the end to back. Come
yeah.
in, get out of the pool. Do some med ball cleans
oh,
or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Get back in the pool.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
An actual cross training.
Yeah.
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Well, have him. He's yeah. got to get on these boards. He will love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He will absolutely love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Because, I mean, it's
ready
great.
To the water?
But we want to get. Time. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. that. I think you.
Have you brought your horse in the water?
Or Zeke?
I take my horse in the water, but not this water. No, my dog, he's here usually, but he